KSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
And a good morning to everyone out there and everyone in here. We got a lot of people on the radio show today.
Yeah, we've got the closet is full.
Some of them are in here and some of them are out there. But there's a lot of folks on this interested in this program today. We're going to get to that because we picked the topic. I think we're going to hit the fan there with it on Facebook. But good morning. Welcome
good morning.
To the El Paso History Radio Show, Melissa.
It's
how you been?
It's warmer out there today, I'll tell you that. Woo.
As you say, we haven't seen you all year. We're done with that joke. Okay.
Yeah.
That's another live show, as we always do here.
Versus a dead show, yes.
And what we got is a, sometimes we're on tape.
Well, sometimes the show's dead, too.
But this is where we can explain that Texas history begins in El Paso, because it does.
It does, yes.
And you can find us anywhere besides KTSM Radio 690. Where else?
Well, you can go to ktsmradio.com, and you can click on the iHeartRadio link, and you can listen to us live all over the planet.
We do good about that. Also, you got trivia going on today?
Yes, we do. We got some great trivia for both hours, and if you're the first caller, you can win a $20 gift certificate to Pepe's, or you can win an El Paso Gold DVD, of which Santa left his bag full of DVDs here, which I haven't had a chance to get him out yet.
A whole bunch
and we've
of them
got MacGuffin, you've got mountains, you've got Smelter. I think you got everything in your transportation.
That's quite a bit.
Hey, you don't have one on the fire department in here. We need to do one.
That's another matter entirely.
We need to do that, yes.
And so life goes on. Lunch at Pepe's today for anybody can make it. I forgot to tell you guys, if you want to go join us for lunch today, we're going to be out at Pepe's, one of our sponsors. They're out in Canutillo. And it's the Juan and only margarita out there.
Juan.
You remember Juan?
Yes.
But anyway, so that's the idea. And we have gift certificates from Pepe's, you said.
That's right, $20.
History moment today about the fire department.
Yes, the really early days of firefighting, literally fighting. I mean,
that's going to see how that
turns out. Doing more than fighting fires, I want you to know.
One quick notice about the missing Pattersons. Whitler's posted a whole bunch of more stuff. You guys remember the missing Pattersons back in the day? Well, they're still missing. And so we had sent some people out looking for them. And in so doing, I found 160 articles from the El Paso Herald Post that over time had been posted since March 5th, 1957, when that event occurred, when the Pattersons went missing in Kern Place. And that many articles, all the way up through the 1980s and some even the 2000s, where are the missing Pattersons? So anyway, we've got that on our ephistory.com page. All those articles are being posted from the Herald Post. So if you want to figure out what that was all about, there they are on that page. Paul Whitler Graphics Design is the guy who does that for us. He's at 581-7045. All right. We got a crowd in here of firefighters.
Before you forget, I made you a missing persons poster you can put up on the posts.
There you are. It says, and that's the wrong phone number, but otherwise that's...
I said it says, for the love of God, someone please find the Pattersons.
Can you imagine that they're still lost? we'll ask these guys if they know something about it, because they were in slightly a rescue business, but... These are firefighters in here today.
That's right.
We have asked a group of firefighters to come in here and tell us what is the history of the fire department, and we have never seen, almost only once have we seen this many people connected to us on Facebook. We reached them, over 12,000 people in Gliming
as of
this morning, on who are the firefighters and what is the history. And so let's go around the room here and introduce these guys, because we have a house full of them.
That's right.
And let's starting on the left of your radio, we have Chris Hogard. Good morning.
Good morning.
Talk into that gizmo there to see if I can put. I'll be sure to try to put you on the radio. But Chris, good morning, and you're the one guy in the room who still works.
Yes, sir.
Sergio, we need to find that microphone.
If he's wearing his uniform.
Sergio, we need to find this microphone over here. But Chris Hogard is here, and he is with the fire department, and you are currently writing a book.
Yes, sir. Been working on a book for approximately 1 year now.
Sergio, please find that microphone for us. Sergio. That mic is not on. We need that microphone turned on. Okay, when you can. All right, next guy in line here is Pilo Tejada. Good morning.
Good morning.
Talking to the gizmo there.
Well, it's nice to be here and some old friends and going to get some memories of way back when I first went to work there. I've been retired 38 years and enjoyed every bit of it.
Well, thank you for being here, PLO. You're hearing okay with the headphones?
Yes.
Okay, because you and I had a conversation about how you
disconnected my high-powered one because it was interfering.
Well, oh, yeah, I could balance it there.
Well, why don't you move the mic over there to the next guy here, and let's now talk. This is Floyd.
Yes, it is.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome here, Floyd Carnes, and your history is with the fire department. When did you serve? When were you in the fire department?
I was in the fire department from 1969 through 1994.
That's a long time.
25 years.
So it was a good career for you.
It was excellent.
I bet you got some stories to tell, too.
Not as many as some of these other men here.
Okay, but you're not going to tell the best stories, are you?
I'm going to hold them back.
Uh-huh. See, somehow I knew that. And going down, Mike Durie, good morning.
Good morning.
The fourth guy in the room, Mike, good morning. And also, it was Pilo I called and said, I talked to him and said, hey, who do you know who could do this? You're the first guy, he said, we got to get Mike in here. So thank you for coming in here. Well, let's go back on the left-hand side over here and go to Floyd. We've got to make your microphone work. I'm not sure what happened.
Just to be sure. Yeah.
So here, we shouldn't have to go through this every day, you know, but we are here. In fact, I tell you what, if we really have to, we'll bring the yellow mic over to you. But why don't you do that? Go ahead and move the mic now. Why don't you do this? Tell us, if you don't mind, what your thoughts are, because you're the guy writing the book, and are you hoping maybe to get some more stories here today?
Well, that'd be great. Really, every time I get in a room with these gentlemen, we find out some crazy new thing that we didn't know and have to go document that part of our history.
But you're writing them down.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I have. We have.
You said thousands of.
Yes, sir.
Pieces of paper.
We're at 4,681. Primary source documents that we've collected and cataloged, and we still are looking for more and getting more every day.
Well, if somebody has something, how do they get it to you?
I'd love to give
email.
Sure, we can give out an email. You can email me at Hoggard. That's Hoggardc, like Charlie X, and then that's at El Paso. Texas, with El Paso and Texas all spelled out, .gov.
Or they call the fire department and ask for you.
Or I can give out a number if you...
Sure, phone number. Okay.
Give you the number.
That's the best way, guys. Just call me directly. It's my cell number, and I'd love to hear from you. It's 915-538-8222.
We'll put that on the website here on the Facebook page.
That's great.
Well, now you're currently employed, and you're, one of your charges is to write a book.
Yes, sir. We're writing a book that's the history of the El Paso Fire Department. It's a little bit shy of 300 pages. We have thousands of images that we've been collecting, and we'll be putting some of the best of those images in the book. We're collecting a lot of we're trying to find out what resources, what archives we have, and get those cataloged, and we're doing. Oral interviews with retirees, and so we're really making a big effort to begin to archive and protect our history because it's not been taken care of.
Very good idea.
Yeah.
Well, also now, when did you join the department?
I joined in 2000.
Okay, so you're an 18-year veteran so far.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us one story that you think the public should know about the fire department that you're probably sure they don't know?
Wow.
we can come back to you in a
minute. Yeah, come back to me on that one. Yes, sir.
Let's go to Pilo. Pilo, grab that mic and just what is your most amazing story? Give us.
Well, my amazing story is that I got on the job. It was pretty hard back in the old days for Mexican Americans to get on the job, so it was a great big upping for me to get there. I was a fireman at the airport, the only one with a fire title. At the airport, Charlie Moore got rid of the El Paso Fire Department, and then it became just one fireman, Joe Avalos, and I replaced him. I when he became a policeman, I went up to the airport manager and requested to take over the fire truck. And he asked me why I felt I could do it. I said, because I wouldn't be here if I didn't think I could do it. And I took over the crash firefighting equipment in the airport for 3 years.
And so did you ever go actually put out an airplane on fire?
I had several, sir. And my big and saddest experience was when an F-9 went through the fence into Van Horn Park. And as we were fighting the fire, finally got it out, somebody yelled at me to get off that person. We had foamed everything and worked our way in, and it was pretty bad, but I was on top of the pilot.
Oh.
Wow. So that's a story that you can't forget that one.
It was quite sad, and it bothered me for a long time that there I was on top of a burnt person.
Well, the thing is, though, that's a job you're in. It has that kind of problem with it, doesn't it?
Well, yes.
And so you can't be just overly concerned about it.
No,
what happens.
Main thing was to get the fire out before he got to a house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was in the backyard. The main crash was in the backyard of a house.
Wow. And what year was this?
This was 1956.
56, you said?
Well,
Foster Heights.
Foster Heights was in 19. Let me see.
Well, roughly in the fifties.
Roughly early 56. I moved from the airport in August of 56 to the downtown fire department.
Did life get easier for you as a Mexican American in the fire department?
It was a little hard. Matter of fact, I wouldn't have got on when personnel sent me to the fire department, because I had gone to personnel that I was very unhappy at the airport because we had changed manager. Charlie Moore left. They brought two new gentlemen right out of the Navy to be in charge of the airport. They never really let me do my job. So I started looking to move downtown. Went to personnel. They moved me to... personnel sent me with a piece of paper to the fire department. I walked in, and the administrative chief I didn't have a chance to say much. He said, we're not hiring.
Wow. So how'd you overcome that?
Well, I overcome that because I was downtown, so I walked over to my dad's department at the Poplar, asked me what I was doing, and I told him. And my dad says, did you tell him who you were? I says, I couldn't even speak, Dad. I didn't get a chance to say much.
Wow.
Anyway, he dialed the fire chief, and he didn't ask for Chief Davis. He asked for Mr. 5x5. That's how well he knew him. They had a big conversation, and when they finished, my dad, well, first they talked about the family and this and that. I didn't even know my dad knew him. And when my dad finished, he told me, you got an appointment with the fire chief tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
Hope it works out, huh?
And I couldn't believe it. But anyway, I went. You have to knock on the door to be admitted. It was that private. Anyway, I walked in, and I still remember very well what the man said. What are you doing here? I told you yesterday we're not hiring.
And?
And I says, sir, I have an appointment with the fire chief this morning, and that's why I'm here. And the conversation, I guess, got a little loud, and the administrative office and the chief office connected. So he must have heard the commotion. He walks out, and he says, are you the Tejeda boy? I says, yes, sir. Come in here, boy.
Wow.
We went in the office. We spoke for, I don't know, a little bit. Asked me when I wanted to come to work. And I says, tomorrow. He says, no. You go back and give them 2 weeks' notice, and then I'll hire you. And I want to warn you, we don't have an examination right away. So when we give the examination, you already be working here. If you don't pass it, you don't have a job.
Well, that's fair enough.
I says, Chief, I'm not worried about your exam.
Right.
And I went to work, and I went back to personnel. I gave them my 2 weeks' notice. They made a big mistake on the resignation. He said, why you were resigning? And I put on how badly they treated me.
Ooh,
at the airport.
Well.
And when that was over and handed it to the personnel director, he read it, and he says, you can't do that. He says, turn that form over. And then it said, recommendation by department head. They're going to run you down. I won't be able to hire you.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, okay. And he says, can I type it out for you? And I said, yes, sir.
Aww.
And he put on there better pension plan, better advancement, and all that.
Well, but because of your stubbornness, you learned a number of things and you got the
right.
job.
Yeah. And you had somebody that obviously thought you were worth your worth your salt there.
Well, Pilo, yeah. This is the kind of conversation today. We're going to have to move on a little bit, but it's interesting to hear how you got. What year was that when you got started?
It was 1956.
Okay, so you stayed there for till in the
1981.
Okay. Pilo Tejada in the studio here. And we're going to take a break here, Floyd. We're going to come back and talk to you guys about your favorite thoughts or some story you knew that should be brought out. And then we'll come back and begin the history, because the early history of the El Paso Fire Department is a bit unusual. And I guess you guys have seen that equipment in the museum. And have you ever thought about going firing it up and making it work again? No.
Right? No, I think it'd be fun.
Interesting. We're taking a break here. We got the topic is El Paso's Fire Department. And the guys in here, let me just go through the whole list of who we have in here. Three retired firefighters, Floyd Kearns, Mike Durie, and Pilo Tejada, along with Chris Hogard, who is in the
Still
department,
active.
Writing a book now.
That's right.
So,
good.
All right, shall we do some trivia? I don't know if we covered anything in your trivia or not.
No, we didn't.
Ah, in that case, why don't we move on and just take a break and come back and cover that later?
Yeah, let's cover that other day.
Fair enough. All right, and as we do that... Sergio, can you help us with this one microphone? Let us know when this other mic's back online. All right, and I tell you what, let's also do. I do have another announcement here. A guy named Dave Gutierrez, another guy who's writing a book. This has already been written. It's an El Paso book. He's got a book signing coming up. And this is Patriots from the Barrio. And this is the book about World War II U.S. Army, basically infantry.
Yeah.
And they were put together out of a group of people in South El Paso, spoke Spanish in the unit. Ended up in the Rapido River in Italy, and their commander, Chapin, got killed, but he got a high school.
Yeah.
I'm not sure else to say that. But anyway, he's going to have an event on Friday, January 25th.
Oh, he's going to be back in town.
And so he'll be back in here and doing another one.
Neat guy.
We'll talk about that in a minute. And also, let's do this. When did Pilo retire from the fire department? Don't say it. That'll be one trivia question, because we just said it on the radio. And if they can answer the question, Pilo, we're going to give them some prizes. Don't say it now, but when we ask the question that people call in, you'll have to verify when you retired, because you did tell us.
I did. I actually listened to that one.
Fair enough. All right. And we're going to take a break, come back, and do this again. And call us up about that question.
That's right. For $20 in food from Pepe's or an El Paso Gold DVD, you can call us at 544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Our iHeartRadio Podcast Awards are coming, and the Ron Burgundy Podcast will debut soon on iHeartRadio. Celebrate with an exclusive invitation to our iHeartRadio Podcast Awards. Open the iHeartRadio app, search Ron Burgundy, and tap follow on his podcast. You are automatically entered to win. Brought to you by Capital One. We've reimagined banking with inviting cafes and one of the nation's best savings rates. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Bureaucrats from the Department of Health and Human Services are pushing a plan to rewrite Medicare Part B that puts the health care for America's sickest seniors in serious jeopardy. The HHS plan, pulled from the Bernie Sanders healthcare playbook, would change Medicare to be more like socialized healthcare schemes in Europe, with government price fixing and access restrictions. If Congress doesn't block this dangerous plan, seniors' access to new treatments would be reduced, the search for new cures would be delayed, and American medical innovation would stall. Conservatives and seniors know that Senator John Cornyn will fight for free market solutions. Call Senator Cornyn today at 202-224-3121. Urge him to fight to reject price fixing in Medicare Part B. Learn more at rejectpricecontrols.org. Paid for by the American Conservative Union.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we got a lot of phone calls coming in here. I'm going to get to those in a moment. We need to tell you some things coming up here. There is an interesting day coming up called History Day in El Paso, and UTEP runs it, and it's for high school students across the county. And if you want to get your high school student tuned in, I think that deadline is come and gone. But what we're talking about, they need some help in running the event. It's on February 23rd, and it's mcharles@utep.edu if you want to get involved. And you can come up and help be a judge. You can help with logistics. They need a lot of people, and it's got like a science fair. In the old days when we had science fairs, they're now doing history fairs.
Yeah, which is great.
So that's a fun thing to do. And so what do you have over there?
Sunset Heights Film Society has got, this is their action movie month. Today at 2 p.m., they've got Top Gun, and they've got some great things going on. And it was interesting, like I said, it's an action movie month, and you can go, and it's free for the movie, and they also serve popcorn, beverages, candy, and snacks for just a small charge on those. The doors open at 1:30 p.m. on the Brown Street side, so you can go right into the theater. And you've got Jay there giving you some great anecdotes. In fact, he sent me some information this morning on one of the films next week, which is going to be Raiders of the Lost Ark and how they came up on the idea with that.
They should pack that theater.
Oh, yeah.
It seats 160. This thing is free.
Oh, I know. It's free. And the Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know how that idea came up on that? Was on a beach in Hawaii with Siegel and with, I'm going totally blank on the other.
Go ask Jay next
He's
week.
He's got these great facts. I had no idea. It came out of a little sandcastle on the beach. But these are the kind of stuff that Jay's picks brings up with us there. So go out. It's a great event at the International Museum of Art. So this Saturday, 2 p.m. in Montana and Brown Street.
That's next week of the Raiders. Today
is Top Gun.
Good movie. Oh, I got the phones full here going in order when they call. We got Jorge. Oh, Jorge's on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jorge.
I think I got the answer to your question.
Okay.
1981.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
Oh, but I wanted to ask a question beside. I wanted to ask if there was any recollection of my godfather. He was an ancestor of Winfield Scott, or descendant, I should say. Winfield Scott was an ancestor of his. His name was Jose Scott, and he was fire chief over at Station Alice 5. He happened to be married to my father's eldest sister, and I wonder if maybe one of your guests might have recalled him in that capacity.
Jose Scott was my driver when I was a lieutenant at Number 9 Fire Station. He was a great guy. He was just a wonderful person, and he was a really good driver.
That's what you expected to hear, wasn't it, Jorge?
It certainly was, and I'm glad that he was able to mention some aspect of who he was with respect to his duties with El Paso in that capacity as another fire.
Well, Jorge, the fire department connects to everybody sooner or later. And a lot of them are related, and that's who we're getting on the phone. Some I'll tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold here, and Shelly will come tell you how to pick. What do you want, a $20?
The $20 for Pepe's, or did you want an El Paso Gold DVD?
I think I like to have one of the DVDs.
Okay.
All right, let's do this. I'll have Shelly talk to you about it off the air, and you can pick one. We got a whole bunch of them in here today.
So. You know what?
Thank you.
Jorge, are you still there?
Yeah, he's still there.
Yes, I am.
Hey, listen, I do want to ask everybody that's calling in and listen to the program, if you have family photo albums that you can go through look and see if you can find some pictures of those people. We've collected thousands of images, and I imagine we don't even have a tenth of what's there.
Yeah.
And a lot of these images are going to be in your family album. So if you will, if you don't mind, go look through those albums, and then you can call me. And if you got some images, I'll help you scan those, and we'll add them to our
great.
Archives.
All right, thanks.
Okay, I'll be glad to do that.
Thanks for calling, dude. Hold
You're
on
welcome.
Here.
Thank you.
All right, hold on. And Shelly, that's on line one. All right, let's go to line three. We got somebody on three named Terry. Terry's on the radio. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Yes, I was going to say that Pila also 1981. That he worked from 1954 to 1981.
Let's give her a DVD. Oh. What the
well,
heck?
Well, there you go.
Would you like a DVD or two?
Sure.
All right.
Pepes. I love Pepes.
Oh, you but well, now the other guy didn't take the Pepes.
Well, there you go.
Okay, then in that case, you get the Pepes. I was trying to. Fair enough. And this is Terry.
Terry.
T E R R Y.
T E R R Y.
Okay, very good. Hold on. Anything else on your mind this morning?
Oh no, I remember Pilo because he was also a bartender, or he had a little bar that he would take around to party.
That's
his second job.
Pilo
that's
is
why I know him.
Pilo is the bartender from.
Yep. Professional and did a great job at that also.
Absolutely.
So, you know, back in the day, firefighters had to, you know, and still, I think, always had a little second job going on. And he was so professional, very good at what he did.
He quenched the fires and he'll quench your thirst. That's a stupid thing. But anyway, thank you for calling. Well, hold on here. And Shelly will tell you to pick up your prize, all right?
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
That's why I know him. I looked at him and I go, I know who this man is, but I couldn't connect it. He's out of uniform.
Wow. Well, he's also retired from that job
as
well.
Yeah, I know he is, but I mean, now I know.
So it goes. All right. Well, as Melissa wakes up to reality here, good morning. We're going to move on here and take another break and come back and talk to these folks because the firefighter history in El Paso is amazing. And we're not going to touch on it all today. We're going to hit you some highlights. The good thing is that they're writing a book about it.
Oh, I know.
And so when that comes out, you got to come back with the book, maybe, you think?
Sure.
And explain what's actually in the book when you get it. And you're still looking for parts. Throw your phone number out again one more time.
You bet. It's 915-538-8222.
And I'll put that on the Facebook page when I get their picture up and everything, too.
That is Chris Hogard, and he is the one who is writing the book. So, whoever's on three, that's Terry. She got that figured out. We're going to take a break here. Sergio, are you doing okay in there? I want to thank the people in the control room. Shelly got a little crazy running around in there. Thank you, Shelly Sutherland, for being our call screener. And the guy in there who does the electrons is...
Sergio Valenzuela!
It's like he scored a goal, you know. Thank you very much. Take a break here. Jeezy.
Oh, all
peasy.
Right, everything.
Al, you got to watch out. Don't make him
it's
mad.
It's a new year.
He'll come get you. Taking a break here in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
When I had my brother take me places, it was always like, we have to get there early so I can smoke a cigarette before we go inside. I'm a pain. I'm a little sister.
We always have to stop for cigarettes.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. We get up first thing, smoke a cigarette. Before lunch, after lunch, another one on the way home, before dinner, after dinner. Now that I'm talking about it, I'm kind of feeling like I've lost about 4 hours of every day.
I didn't realize it was that much.
Yeah, I know. I decided I needed to find an alternative. So I started looking and then Juul came up. I did both for a while. And eventually I just switched over and it's very quick. I honestly feel like I remember recently you asking me, like, did you want to smoke before we go in? And I was like, no, I don't need to.
Mimi made the switch July 2015. Make the switch at Juul.com. That's JUUL.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
So much history, so little time. We're going to do the best we can here this morning. We got some history lessons. What are you doing over there?
I'm playing with a microphone.
Stop it. Well, history lessons for January. RV Girls of El Paso meeting Monday, January 14th, 2 p.m. at the Union Passenger Station Depot. The program is History of Railroad Police Protecting Passengers and Freight. Ah, they got the guns and look out, they're there. But that's by Woody Bear. 591-2326 on details. Same phone number for this one, Genealogy Society, Thursday, January 10th, 6 p.m., St. Paul's Methodist Church off of Edgemere. And program is Researching Your Mexican Ancestors by Dorotero Franco. Same number, 591-2326. What do you got?
I've got, let's see, we've got Southwest Chapter of Railway and Locomotive Historical Societies meeting January 9th at 6 p.m. at El Serape Restaurant on Montana. Yvette Lerma will be on hand to talk about life and times of the female railroad engineer on the Union Pacific. Call 760-5775 for more information. The El Paso Corral, the Westerners International meets on Friday, January 18th at 6 p.m. at Holiday Inn, El Paso West at Sunland Park and I-10. Jim Eccles will talk on Camp Cody, Deming, New Mexico, a World War I training camp. Call them at 759-9538 for more information. And you can call the Friendship Club at St. Paul's Methodist Church. They meet Tuesday, January 22nd at 11:30 a.m. And Billy McCann will talk about Donut Dollies and the Red Cross in the Korean and Red Cross in Korea and Turkey. This is going to be, let's see, call for more information on them, give them a call at 591-2326.
You know, that same woman, 591-2326.
Yeah, Patricia. But I had three different phone numbers on all those.
But Patricia, that same phone number, yep. She is also doing an event in Las Cruces with Curtis and Lydia Flynn called John Wesley Harden Outlaw or Champion. And that's coming up in January 19th. Get a hold of the Brennigan Memorial Library crowd up there if you want to get involved in that. But they're going to talk about John Wesley Harden in Las Cruces. He was never in Las Cruces. They are in Las Cruces. That's how that works. All right, back to the history of the El Paso Fire Department, which, as I warned us all, we're not going to get to. And thank goodness you're doing a book.
Yes, sir.
It's a very good thing, because then we'll figure out what – well, then you'll get the thing like Leon used to say, and they look at the book and they say – a reader will say, oh, this is a great book, but did you not know? And then they'll want you to add something to the book.
Certainly.
Yeah, we'll get to that. All right, Floyd, let's talk about what you know and what you've seen and what you think is the history of any one particular important story that the public should know?
No, I can't think of anything that really stands out. But what really makes the history of the fire department or I guess any organization is those men and women that make it up. Now, we can talk about the fire engines and the fire stations. We can talk about the fires and what really happened at that. But it's actually the men and women that make up the fire department that really makes the story, the history. That it's very difficult to try to pick out any one thing.
Well, how would you summarize those people?
They're the greatest people. I was so lucky to work with at that time, just the men. I was so lucky to work with them, and I had the greatest crews that I worked with. I actually enjoyed going to work some days where some people dread the fact that they've got to get up, get dressed, and go to work. There were those many, many, many days that I was looking forward to going to work. It was just such great people.
Well, just a generic question about a firefighter. Don't you sit around the firehouse sometimes, or do you guys have things to do all day long?
You know, you're working all day long. If you're not doing anything, any physical work, you're actually having school.
Oh.
And in the evening after 5 p.m., it's your time. And a lot of men would study, but then you would also sit around and talk, and the weekends were kind of free.
Is it a big deal to jump on that pole?
No, sometimes you hit kind of hard at the bottom, and it kind of hurts a little bit.
Well, I got to thinking, that might not be as much fun as you think it is as a little kid.
Exactly.
But it looked cool.
I was working at the Central Fire Station as a rookie, and I was working on the third floor cleaning the shelving, wiping it down with a wet cloth. And an alarm came in, and I started sliding the poles. Well, my hands weren't dry.
Oh,
so you hit pretty hard first on the second floor and then on the first floor. And it wasn't for us, so it's back up to the third floor.
So you mean there was two poles, one on each floor?
The Central Fire Station, the old Central Fire Station, it was built in 1918, had three floors. So they ate and
but you didn't go one pole all the way to the bottom from
no,
the
No, sir.
They, oh, I mean, that would knock, you would knock your ankles off or something.
Yes, yeah.
You went from one floor and then
you went
over to the next
pole. Yeah, okay. I just
want
to get that cleared up here.
Gravity would be playing an awful big point at that third floor.
You guys live this history. It's pretty basic stuff. I didn't know what happened with all that, so now I know. Okay, Mike, tell us what you had some thoughts here, and Mike Dury is in here. And this kind of started with PLO went to you. What are your thoughts on the history and what's going on?
Well, I was surprised, really, to hear that story that PLO told because it was so different from my experience. I had been in the Army 49 to 53, and when I got out, I had a difficulty finding a job. And I wrote a letter to Ann Carroll. I don't know if many of you remember Ann Carroll. She was a columnist for the Herald Post. Gave advice. I wrote a letter to her, and she suggested that I go see the fire chief. Well, I went in to see the fire chief, said, Chief, I'm a Korean vet, and I'm looking for a job. And he said, sure. He said, do you have khakis? Still have your khakis? At that time, we wore khakis as our uniform.
In the Army.
You're right. And so I said, yes, I do. He says, come to work tomorrow a little bit early. We change shifts at noon. He says, and you've got a job.
Wow.
So I think that reflects a bit on the discrimination that was being demonstrated at that time. This was in 1953. And I'm proud to say that things have changed a lot. I want to mention that I've had many great friends, Hispanic friends, and I had crew that performed remarkably. When you're I was a district chief at Central for several years, and when you have men who do their job, that makes you a chief. It's not whether you got promoted, whether you did well on the exam. It's the people who perform for you. And I had a tremendous experience. I was very lucky. I was blessed.
All you guys are talking about the family of firefighters, basically.
Right.
And it's become a bigger family over the years, and I'm sure the discrimination business has gone out the window because you can't do that anymore. Number one, it's stupid. Number two, it's wrong. Number three, it's illegal. So you can't be doing that anymore. But so as things have changed, Pilo, what is your assessment now? I mean, you talk to these guys.
It's entirely different now.
Yeah.
It got different maybe 10 years after I went to work. But it was there, and it was bad.
But everybody in El Paso worked through this, and every business, every industry, apparently, the discrimination that we knew back then.
Right. Well, you can see by the fact that we've had three Hispanic fire chiefs, so we can do the job, and it's been done.
Not only that, it's to the point now we don't have to count anymore. It's just normal people.
Right. Well, you know that the previous fire chief, how good that the Hispanic have done, Houston, with 900 or 9,000 firefighters, took the fire chief from here.
Ah, yeah, that's so. True. That's right. Yeah, guy left.
So that's a sample of the changes.
Well, at this point, like I say, I think we're just kind of like all one crowd here, and that's just history.
So,
but we're talking about the history,
right?
And it did conclude.
It did happen, but it's over.
Let's move to another type of topics, and that is the very early history. I mentioned the fact that some of the equipment of the El Paso Fire Department is in a museum down there. Was that stuff actually used on the street?
I drove a 1930 model chain-driven fire truck because ours had broke down.
Chain-driven,
and we went to a fire, and we had to wait a little while to put water in the radiator to fight the fire.
Oh,
well, there's some strange things that have gone on in the past. Go ahead.
When I went to work, there were two 1930 model American LaFrance in service, still in first-line service.
This is Mike Dury saying this, okay.
Yes. And I was a relief driver, happened to be on both of them. One of them was at Piedras, and and Richmond, and the other one was at number 10 on Dallas and Montana.
I used to go in that fire department in Peterson, Richmond, because that's where my parents voted. I got to know the fire department. Interesting. Well, also, back in the early days, let's go back, dial this way back there, because in the early days, you didn't have a fire department in El Paso. You didn't need one, apparently, because they had water brigades and acequias, and the buildings that would burn would be adobe. So it'd be a content fire, perhaps, not so much a building fire. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. Really, all that was going to burn on an adobe building was the roof
and the furnishing
and the contents.
And this is Chris Hogard here, the guy writing the book.
Yes, sir. So before 1882, in 1881, it really kind of started about 1880. You saw a real increase in the El Paso's population. Before then, there was approximately 50 structures in El Paso. They were all adobe. Only about half of them were occupied, and there was no insurance issues at all because these structures, the people built them with their families. If
yeah.
you had a fire and you didn't go, make an insurance claim. You got your family, whoever was good at putting on a roof, they helped you put on a roof, and that was that.
Fix it back up.
Right.
Start all over again.
But to set the time frame for everyone, the railroads arrived in the spring of 1881.
That's correct.
Things changed.
Yes, sir. And even as they're approaching, people started flooding in the area because as the railroads got near El Paso, people would take stagecoaches from the end of the train, and they'd come in. So people are just flooding in everywhere. But there was no place for anyone to live because there's only about 50 adobe structures in town. So instead of you might think that people would come in and build a house. Well, they didn't have time to build a house. They're working and so what happened was some entrepreneurs built hotels, and these hotels were pretty big and they're all made out of wood.
Here comes the railroad with the wood.
Yes, sir. And so you got wooden structures for the first time. You got wooden brick structures. Even the brick structures have heavy wooden floors and ceilings.
Yeah, the walls.
And now they're valuable. And so people are having to pay a lot of money for insurance because back in the day they had insurance and it was a big thing. But to have these structures burned down, not only did you never had it insured for the full amount, but you also paid such a high cost. And so the local businessmen, as the railroads got in town, and this just kept going on and on, And the El Paso went from just a couple hundred people to a couple thousand people in about 2 years.
Oh yeah.
And so that's when the guys started getting together and saying, you know what, we need to do something. Now before all this happened, El Paso, as you said before, had these ditches with water in them.
Yes,
and
that's
not only how you did the firefighting, which was essentially nothing, but it's also where you got your drinking water and where you got your clothes cleaning water and everything else. So in 1881, the city created a water committee that was in charge of creating a water distribution system. But they really didn't do anything about this until earlier 1882, the first few months in 1882. They contracted with a guy from St. Louis, Sylvester Watts, and he got here in town with his two brothers to begin building this water distribution system in the summer of 1882.
That the one up on Sunset Heights?
That's where their holding tank was.
Right.
And then they took them about 6 months to put in the basic system in a small area that was called the Fire Limits. That was the most occupied part of what we think of as downtown.
And
El Paso.
It would have different insurance rates accordingly.
Right.
I would bet.
Yeah. So one really important thing for our fire department that I didn't think about before I got started on this project was that we never had the early forms of water pumpers because we had something unusual. El Paso essentially became a city, a populated city, in 1882. It was incorporated before then, but it really took off. took off in 1882, and we gained our fire department and our water system at the same time. And when they built this distribution system, it had 25 hydrants that were specified that would be providing fire protection for the city. So we never had to have hand pumpers.
Because of gravity.
Yes, because in El Paso, we had a mountain to put up the tank on. So
I pushed all the water downtown, and the pressure was good.
Absolutely. So most towns back east didn't have a mountain to put a tank up on.
That's why they go putting up water towers everywhere. That's what that's all about.
Yes. Right, right. And so our department really started out very different, and we
that
skipped a whole
different.
Series of types of apparatus. It used to take a crew of about anywhere from 12 to 20 men, and they had to have three groups of these guys, three shifts. But I'm not talking about different shifts for days. They're shifts that would go to the fire because after about 5 minutes, you were exhausted and you needed a 10-minute break before you went back to pump. So they had three different crews of people.
Every time.
And they'd swap out every 5 minutes.
Well, also, in our second hour, we're going to hear all about what that was like when the people came to take the equipment to the fire.
Absolutely.
It was a competition, as you may remember.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Well, real quick, I want to ask you, though, what was the fire company number one? When was it formed by city council?
Okay, so September 1st, the city council met with this group of people that had gotten together about a week before.
Well, what year?
It was 1882.
Okay, so the fire department company number one formed in 1882. Who was the first fire chief?
That would be Chief Pierce. And the first company was actually Hook and Ladder number one. So it was not a pumper, even though some of our previous histories have this different. The city council minutes say that it was Hook and Ladder Company number one. And, of course, it didn't really matter because they didn't have a hook and ladder. They didn't have any equipment at all. They only had, according to one newspaper article, 100 feet of hose.
And some buckets, maybe.
Right.
We got to take a break here. We got Michael on the phone. You got a thought real quick.
Well, no, I took the information for the trivia on that from the El Paso Fire Department history.
Well, we haven't gotten to it yet,
so
you can change it.
So
don't worry about it. We can get it changed. All right, taking a break here. Call us if you need to, and we have a caller on hold at this point.
544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Ressler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
Moms, take the worry out of cold and flu season with the Exogen Temporal Scanner, the most accurate thermometer available and the number one choice of pediatricians. With just a gentle scan across the forehead, you get a reading every time. Protect your little ones with the Exogen Temporal Scanner.
The most common New Year's resolution? Yep, you guessed it. Get in shape. So whether you're hitting the gym or doing it at home, make sure when the headphones go on, so does iHeartRadio. We've got your rock workout playlist, cardio playlist, plus health and fitness podcasts like 10% Happier, Train, and hundreds more. Stay focused on your goal and let iHeartRadio help you succeed in 2019. Your music, your stations, your podcasts, anytime, anywhere.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
Got callers on the phone, got people in talking in here, and we got a lot to do here, but we need to pick a Pepe's special today.
Pepe's special.
Are you going to Pepe's?
I'll try to get there later.
Okay, but
Bernie's going to be there, but I've got to make a couple of stops.
Bernie needs to make a public appearance at Pepe's because we need to see.
He's been ill.
Oh, that's true. All right, what do you got here for a Pepe special?
My favorite green chili chicken enchiladas.
Ta-da!
Bing, 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 bing.
And it's hot stuff.
That becomes the Oñate special today.
Hot.
Green chili chicken enchiladas, whatever they have on the menu, it's $6 today.
It's
so there you are. All right, going to some callers here. They're busy on the phone. Named Michael. Hey, Michael, good morning.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Michael.
Yes, good morning, sir. Yes, good morning.
Yes, what's on your mind, sir?
I was just calling because my uncle was part of that. I guess I haven't caught all your show, but my uncle was a. He had just got out of the Korean War, and he was coming back home in his uniform. He was discriminated against, like in Abilene. He came to El Paso, and was part of the foothold or the initial group of Hispanics that made an effort to be part of the El Paso Fire Department. My uncle's name was Jose Scott.
We talked about him already. Somebody
did you
else,
really?
Well, one of your other relatives called up about him, right?
Yeah, right? I have three or four cousins that are firefighters, and my Uncle Scott, he's my godfather, and it was always he was always a stand-up guy. He did go through things, but his efforts opened doors for many other young Hispanic men to the successes they have today. And, you know, when my uncle died, it was the first time that the fire department had ever put a 24-hour color guard with his engine in front of Harding Orr and McDaniel there off of Montana.
Oh, that's a lot of history. It really is.
And it was a great honor, you know. And he's even part of that mural, the one over off of Cotton.
Okay.
There's a mural there for firefighters. I just wanted people to know that, I mean, there's a lot, Fire Department El Paso, great, but there was a lot of guys that took a lot and persevered, and that's why we are who and where we are now.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
That's
do appreciate
great news.
It. Thank you very much. We're going to move on here now to David. This is David Leon. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Is this, I have a question for Chris.
Go ahead. Go ahead. State your question, please. We're about out of time. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, but does he know anything about this Del Norte fire that happened and it was on the Herald Post front page January 28, 1965?
Yeah, I've got a number of guys that have went to that fire that we had interviews with, and I've got a good number of pictures. If you have, do you have any information for us?
Well, I was wondering if you knew who they were, like Chief Joe Wilson and, Joe Springer was my father-in-law.
Oh,
and
okay.
his brother may have some stuff. And I got your number.
Yeah, that'd be great. Pass it on to him and tell him we really do want those pictures. And like I said, if you have pictures, we'll scan them for you. We'll give you digital copies of the of restored images.
And you give them back to him.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's even better.
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna.
Hey, one more question is: are there any streets named after any firemen in El Paso?
I wouldn't know that. There may be, and I wouldn't know it. The County Historical Society has got a list of some street names. You might try that.
Well, that would be one or two,
David, think. We got to run on, but thank you very much for calling up. And do contribute to the book if you can.
Okay. All right. Sure will.
Thanks a lot. You take her easy. We're going to take a break here and come back next hour. We got these guys here for the hour of next hour as well. And we're talking more about firefighting history. And I think we're probably going to end up with some more interesting stories from the public about you guys. I have a feeling people are going to tell a story on Pilo. Anybody got a story on Pilo? Let's have a story on Pilo. Somebody call us after the break.
I think another one would be on the names of the different battalions, their nicknames that they had.
Well, also, Sunset Heights Fire Department had a bulldog for a mascot.
Yes, and their unit
was the dog's name?
Yeah.
Trouble. How about that? See you
and
next
their
hour.
Unit was called the Silk Stocking Battalion.
Next hour with the History Show. See you then.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Sargent Home and Business Inventories. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
Everyone's invited.